You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
You know, Andy Warhol said in the future, everyone will be famous for 15 minutes. And then they killed him because, you know, he couldn't really be telling the truth like that. No, he didn't really get shot for that reason. But apparently we do live in Andy Warhol's future. And now anybody with access to the media can suddenly become a rising star and be all over your YouTube, your Facebook, on the news channel, in print, everywhere. Is that a good thing? I don't think so. I'm joined today to talk about that topic and more in the context of a brand new film from director Tate Taylor called Breaking News in Yuba County. I am joined by the likes of Davey.
Hello.
Frank.
Hello.
And Jordan.
Howdy there.
We're going to go and leap into this review, but let me just get the basic synopsis out of the way. While I go through this summary, you guys can begin sharpening your knives. Breaking News in Yuba County is about a woman named Sue, played by the always wonderful Allison Janney. Sue is a very sad housewife. She's got a crummy job at a call center. It's her birthday. Nobody has remembered, not even her husband, played by Matthew Modine. She's just constantly going through life feeling overlooked, unappreciated, and insignificant. So she gets through each day by doing these sort of daily affirmations. You know, the whole Stuart Smalley routine. You're good enough. You're important, etc. Well, one day she catches her husband in flagrante delicto. He has a heart attack during this encounter. Now she's got a mistress and a dead body on her hands, and realizing that this is her moment to finally be somebody, she actually goes to the news, to her local news station, and breaks the story on the air that her husband is missing, even though she's actually just buried him. This is less to cover up the fact that he's dead, and more just because for the first time in her life, Sue gets to be in the spotlight. Thus begins a media commentary, black comedy with some violent twists and turns. And I gotta tell you guys, I really wanted to like this movie. And I'm curious, what was your expectation of this movie going in as opposed to what you got?
I expected to like it because I love dark humor. But then as soon as I saw Tate Taylor, I thought, I'm not going to like this movie. I'm not.
For those who don't know, Tate Taylor, he is an established director. He's not a nobody. He's probably most famous for the movie The Help. He's done Get On Up, Girl on the Train, Ma, Ava. But nothing in his filmography suggests that that's the guy you want to do a twisted, violent, dark comedy.
I really wanted to like this, too. You know, with the stacked cast that it had and the premise, I thought, okay, this will be a good social satire, a dark comedy. The movie I expected really doesn't show up until the third act. The third act of this movie I really like because that's the strange, oddball, dark humor comedy I was expecting. Something along the lines of Get Shorty.
What started off as a lie to get attention spirals out of control. Soon we discover that Sue's husband is actually laundering money for some criminals. And he died with their money in possession. And of course, now they want to get their money back. Regina Hall is one of the police officers who's investigating the case and starts to realize that Sue's story doesn't add up. And we haven't even gotten the husband's brother who works for Wanda Sykes and Ellen Barkin at a furniture company and how they involved in this plot.
No, it's a retail outlet. And I will say, Wanda Sykes is one of my favorite things about this movie. Her character was exactly what I was expecting in this sort of movie, and she was a consistent source of hilarity. I really liked her story. It's just like, this town's boring as shit. I want to do some crime. That'd be cool as fuck.
As I do love Wanda Sykes, I think she's a national treasure. And as soon as I saw her attached to this, I was like, ooh, this is going to be, this will be, if nothing else. And I saw her recently interviewed, and she described her character as someone who was a Salt and Pepper fan back in the 90s, just never grew out of that phase. And as I went to this movie thinking, keeping that in mind, and I thought, oh, yeah, it's totally it. And she emerges as the most entertaining, element of this movie for me, just because she's in her own realm, and I love it.
Jordan mentioned the stacked cast, and let's talk about this cast, because this is a damn good cast.
Yeah.
I mean, on the cast alone, I was having high expectations. You've got Allison Janney as Sue Buttons, our protagonist, Mila Kunis as her sister Nancy, who is also a news anchor trying to break a big story, Regina Hall as the detective, Awkwafina and Clifton Collins Jr. as the local mobsters looking to get their money back. You've got Wanda Sykes and Ellen Barkin as a lesbian couple who run this retail store that Jimmy Simpson works at. And he's the character who is the brother of the deceased husband, played by Matthew Modine. All of these characters weirdly connect in a way that's really convenient to the plot.
Yeah, and there's even Samara Weary as Jimmy Simpson's wife.
Juliette Lewis.
Juliette Lewis, who I thought, even though she was like cast perfectly, kind of disappointing. Then again, also my other favorite thing about this movie, Allison Janney's great as usual. I mean, it's like a given.
Who played the mistress?
She's an actor I'm not familiar with.
She's a comedian. I've seen her interviewed on stuff before. I think she's a comedian.
Her name is Bridget Everett. Oh, she's been in a bunch of stuff. A lot of TV. Definitely seen her around.
Yeah.
And, we've kind of leapfrogged all over this plot because it is a twisty, turdy plot. But again, it all feels very convenient that everybody knows everybody.
I do want to say I personally really enjoyed Samara Weary's performance, as well as the Awkwafina Clifton Collins Jr. back and forth, because that was all a lot of fun. And no one here is really doing necessarily bad work. I fucking hate this movie.
No, Davey, I was going to say, really quickly, I was afraid if you gave this more praise than you gave to Barb and Star, I just don't think I could ever be in a review with you again, to be honest with you.
Oh, no. Barb and Star, for all the things about the movie that I don't like, which we just reviewed, and you should listen to that review because it's also a good one, it tries a lot of things. This movie tries almost nothing. It's just kind of the template of, well, let's make a dark comedy. Do we need to say something? Are we going to use the violence to have anything of note? No, we got Allison Janney. We don't need to say anything meaningful.
I really did want to enjoy this. This is my sort of bag.
Yeah.
Really, and again, I'm a big fan of dark humor, especially with stat casts like this. It sort of felt like, hey, why don't we try our hand as sort of Elmore Leonard.
That hurts my soul even hearing Elmore Leonard brought up in this review. Like that's the perfect comparison, but ugh.
Yeah. This plays out like something that might have been written by the Coen brothers, and as soon as they finished writing it, they put it in a drawer and agreed to never talk about it again. Or they did 12 other drafts and it ended up becoming Fargo.
It does feel like their gambit in a way.
Is, but done poorly.
The third act is where it actually starts to become the movie I expected it would be, with the violence being comedic, and how it's just this bad domino
effect.
But
is it really funny? That's the problem. This movie never nails the tone that it's going for. That's hard to do.
It's very hard. It's a hybrid tone.
It's mostly boring.
I did not laugh once during this movie. Like, even when the violence erupted, and I like violence because it's fun to watch people die, none of it worked for me. It was just, oh, cool, now we're at the part of the movie where people get shot, and this is all really convenient, and oh, this movie still has nothing to say. Why was I here for 90 fucking minutes of my goddamn life?
I only laughed a couple of times, and literally only a couple of times, but that's like what we went back to before. I was laughing at the performers and the way they were. I was laughing at line delivery and reactions. And I was laughing. This is a great cast, and they do their best, and any enjoyment you get from them is because of them. Yeah, I think the tone for this, what they were going for, it's so hard. It's so hard to do black comedy and incorporate death and laughs and make it gel together. And that's why it's not done as often. This is so lazy. It's so bland and lazy in a lot of ways. And I'm sure they thought they were trying.
I kept thinking of a movie we reviewed last year called 12 Hour Shift with Amanda Bettis. And it's also a movie that has like a caper aspect and a bunch of characters, none of whom are likable, and a lot of shocking, brutal deaths.
Yeah.
And yet that movie landed its jokes, and you cared enough about some of the characters that it impacted you when things went badly. Here, a lot of things go bad for a lot of people, and you don't give a shit about any of them.
I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, yeah, 12 Hour Shift is a much better example.
What's that movie? I never heard of it.
Frank, I'm glad you asked, because you can listen to our review, which is archived on the oneofus.net website. But it's worth checking out.
I did laugh a few times in this movie, like when the husband does die, your vagina killed my husband. I'm sorry. It got me. I mean,
here's my problem with this movie. And I have several, but this is the key one. When Sue finally discovers that her husband is having an affair, she goes to the hotel where they're shacked up. Now, we've seen this scenario play out. It's already been set up. He's been talking on the phone with someone. We already assume, you know, he's a businessman, a banker. This is the hot, younger mistress.
Right.
They don't do that. It actually turns out that Matthew Modine's character, he likes the big gals. Bridget Everett, she does perfectly fine in it, but we have to deal with some uncomfortable nudity, and it's just a cruel joke of like, oh, he's fucking a fat chick. You thought it was going to be some smoking hot chick who worked at this bank with him. It's just treated like a cruel joke. All of the humor in this is cruel and never feels like it rises above the level of cruelty, but I could see somebody reading this script going, oh, that's unexpected. This might be worth producing. But the whole thing is like that. All of the deaths are cruel and violent and unnecessary, and it just made me feel awful.
And they're boring. There's one death, the turning point of, oh, people are starting to die. That one is actually interesting, and obviously we won't spoil it, but it uses things in a neat, fun way. And I kind of started to be like, well, if they're going to keep up in the ante from here, eventually we might get into the Peter Stormare dropping Buscemi into a wood chipper, get into that proper Coen's feeling. Everything else is just, oh, they got shot. Oh, they also got shot. Oh, they got stabbed. Be more fucking creative. My God, if you're going to dispatch 90% of your cast in the span of 10 minutes, then do something neat with it. Final Destination, that shit.
It's nihilistic to no effect.
Yeah.
They wanted to be brave and make like a gutsy dark comedy, but they don't have the guts to make a gutsy dark comedy. They don't have, you know, the chutzpah to go ahead and just, you know, they were going to just off everybody in the most morbid way. Yeah, they lack the creativity for what they're going for.
This movie feels like it was written in 1998. And the script has been sitting on a shelf, gathering dust. This is the kind of movie where I actually had to ask myself what the time period was. Because people have smartphones. For a movie that purports to be a media commentary satire, do you know what's never mentioned? Not once to my recollection? Social media. I don't know if anyone even mentions the internet. This whole thing feels like they're not engaging with the issues as it is. That's why it felt like it was written in 98. And now we get it. It's like, wow, this might have been interesting if you hadn't made it 20 something years too late to matter.
I think it would have been just as bland in 1998, to be honest with you. But I didn't mind the social media presence only because of the current state of social media. I kind of didn't mind having a break from it. But I get what you mean. But I think this would have been just as bland in 98.
At least they would have been trying to say something relevant. Here, it's just about somebody who wants to get on TV. Allison Janney's character, she tries to piggyback on the disappearance of a missing little girl. And she's like, well, I want to be on TV. And everyone's like, no, the little girl's more important than your missing husband. She's like, well, before he died, my husband said he knew who killed her. Every lie she makes is so stupid and so easily disproven. Meanwhile, Awkwafina and Clifton Collins Jr. are trying to shake down the Jesse Simpson character, who thinks that they've kidnapped his brother to get the money. They know full well they don't have him, but they're like, you know what? Fuck it. Tell him to bring 20 grand and then we'll let his brother go. And of course, he is violating the oath that he has made to his very pregnant wife, played by Samira Wiley. You know, he's like, baby, I've given up that life. I'm not doing crime anymore. And it's like, again, it's like, does everyone in this movie know one another or is related to one another? Because it's just so schematic and convenient.
To the point that you made earlier about it seeming like a very old script, one of the production logos at the very beginning of the movie is for The Blacklist, the script writing like competition. So that has to be the case, right? This has to be something that has sat on a shelf for so long and was mildly relevant in like 2003 at the latest. Because what it's trying to say about fame and about success, we've moved past all of that. Like, not every idea here is bad. When Alice and Janie's like, oh yeah, this disappearance is connected to the little girls, there's a lot of stuff you can do there with the dark humor and kind of showing the depravity of it. But we never even get to the depravity. She's just fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And that's the worst thing.
This could have very well been written like in the 90s. Yeah. But I mean, that's no excuse for not tweaking it before you go before the cameras.
You know, Davey, the other production credit is American International Pictures, which was the Roger Corman group, which I think now is just being used as a way to distribute things online and in limited releases. I was kind of hoping that this would follow in that sort of grindhouse exploitation type of genre. When I see AIP, I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be trash, but it could be fun.
Yeah.
And this really wasn't that much fun. But you know what is fun is sharing our opinions with one another. Why don't we go ahead and lead into our final thoughts? Davey, kick it off, please.
Yeah, like I mentioned, I fucking hate this. It just is a movie made without a soul and without anything really to say. And sure, some movies like that kind of pride themselves on being nihilistic and the only point of the movie is everything is terrible. And I think that's boring. But this doesn't even go that full mile. It's just annoying and poorly thought out. Like I mentioned earlier, there's no depravity in what's happening. It's just weird, opportunistic, and shallowness. There's nothing really dark even happening here, let alone anything funny. Like Jordan said earlier, Elmore Leonard or the Coen brothers, it's just that run through the multiplicity machine so many times that it doesn't mean anything. And it just is there to fill up space. Tate Taylor is, I don't think, is a terrible director, but he's very clearly a director that is as good as the scripts and actors that he has and no better. Because The Help is fine. I legitimately think Get On Up is a pretty good movie, and Ma has its trashy fun. Ava's also fucking terrible, and this kind of reinforces that idea for me, that this is a director that is just workmanlike and is exactly as good as everything else around him is, which is fantastic on a business sense, but a pretty shitty indictment of your creative ability. This movie bums me the fuck out. If you want to watch a good dark comedy, watch Bloody Hell, which came out about a month ago. We also did a review on that that you can listen to on the oneofus.net archives. That movie's so much weirder, so much more interesting, so much more violent, and so much more funny than this. So I am going to give this 2 out of 10 billboards outside of Ebbing, Missouri.
Even the title tries to make you think of that other movie, I swear.
It does. It really does.
Frank, what are your final thoughts on this?
So I didn't like this, and I thought it was sloppy. I thought it was lazy. I thought it was overstacked with characters that didn't need to be there and added virtually nothing. The Kunis character serves really no purpose when you get right down to it, and serves no purpose in a movie that is largely purposeless. The characters, unsympathetic characters, are not a deal breaker for me. I don't need to like everybody I watch on the screen. I do need to find them interesting.
Yes.
And everybody here is so pathetic and so uninteresting. There is nothing about these characters that makes me want to spend any time with them. I would spend time with Hannibal Lecter. I did spend time with Hannibal Lecter. I watched Silence of the Lambs earlier today because it's its 30th anniversary. But this was, yeah, it was just a mess. And one of my favorite dark comedy, since Davey threw one out, I'm going to throw one out as well, which not a lot of people like, but was did what this was trying to do, but goes an edge or two further. The 2000 movie called Drowning Mona with Danny DeVito and Bette Midler and Casey Affleck and Will Ferrell and Jamie Lee Curtis and another big cast, Neve Campbell's in it. Bette Midler plays a woman who dies when her brakes fail. She runs off a cliff and everybody in the town couldn't be bothered to solve the mystery because nobody really liked her. And it's a really funny dark comedy. That's what I was hoping this would be, but that actually had the guts to go full dark. You get like someone gets amputeed on camera. You got, you know, Ferrell plays like a funeral parlor director that's like shooting porn in the back room. I mean, it's wacky and dark. This is not. This is Tate Taylor under Tate Taylor-ing himself, which I did not think was possible, but I guess it is. So I gotta give this 5 out of 10 mistresses whom, when you first burst in, have a breast hanging out.
Okay.
She did.
Jordan?
I really wanted to like this movie. It has so many elements that I like. Dark comedy, stat cast, satire. But, it's like you got all these good ingredients. You put it together and this looks good, but then you take a bite and it's pure shit. It's just, it's kind of boring and scarce laughs. The best thing is the frosting on top, and that would be Wanda Sykes and Allison Janney. I kind of lost my analogy. I'm getting a bit hungry now. So I will go ahead and give this 4 out of 10 misspelled cakes.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you guys. I was very disappointed in this. I don't mind dark comedies. I don't mind violence. I don't mind black humor. Damn, you have to juggle that tone just right to make the trip seem worthwhile. The only thing really for me that is working in this movie truly is Allison Janney. I think she is selling the best performance she can with that character. You always understand that how she is the central point of the movie. I could easily see this character, that actress, being in a far superior version of this movie. And I think part of that is going to just come down to Tate Taylor not really having the facility with this type of dark humor to make this work, which is unfortunate because in the hands of a different director, maybe this could have been at least competently made and enjoyable. Here, none of those things happened.
Did he write this?
No, he did not. This was written by Amanda Hidalgo, who has mostly TV credits, I believe. I think what happened is somebody wrote something that got on the blacklist. Everybody said, wow, this is kind of quirky and weird and unusual. And hey, big fat titty mistresses. We never saw that coming. There must be something to this script. This is edgy as fuck. All the cast dies at the end. Somebody must have been looking at this thinking this could fit in that sort of post-Fargo, post-Pulp Fiction, post-A Simple Plan type world of films that were very popular after the 90s. And yet, I still feel like if it wasn't sitting on a shelf for the better part of 2 decades, it was written by someone who watched all of those films from back then and thought, I want to do something like that. I don't know who to blame here other than Taylor. Maybe this script in the hands of a better director could have done something. Certainly, you should be able to do something with this incredible cast. And unfortunately, all we see is flop sweat from most of them as they try desperately to make these characters seem engaging or funny, and the script fails them and the director fails them. It's too bad. I have to give this 2.5 out of 10 disembodying earlobes with an earring still attached to it. And on that note, I'm going to go do something terrible because I feel like being famous. You know, Austin is blanketed in ice right now, so maybe I should just go drive recklessly and post myself onto YouTube being a public menace, and then I'll get sympathy and become famous, and then money will come in. Is that how it works? That's how fame works, right? You just do something horrible, and then suddenly everybody wants you.
But Marco, too many people have done that already this weekend. They're called pile-ups. We had one in Dallas and in Austin. So you're a little bit late on that train.
Wait, is that how we get subscribers?
God damn it, I should have been getting those clicks.
That's true. Also, you don't post it to YouTube. You post it to oneofus.net for subscribers only and get people to give us money.
Stay tuned. We were going to be announcing very soon Monkeys Only fans site.
We got Monkeys Only fans and Marco Does Crimes only on oneofus.net.
It's gonna be wild.